Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
These all-star Real Housewives are causing all-out chaos.
It's a party now.
Brand new series, The Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, is now streaming. And it's only on Hayu. Try for free at Hayu.com. Only €5.99 per month after 30 days, unless cancelled. Terms and conditions apply.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Welcome everyone back to 21st Century Football, where over the next couple of weeks we are talking about all the Euros all of the time. And this time, it's Euro 2008, which I'm going to say is the worst Euros in my lifetime. So strap yourselves in for 25 minutes of content. Joining me today is a new person to the podcast, a friend of mine, a father figure, Jay Motti, the biggest Man United fan in the world, safe proclaimed. Is that true?
That's the best intro everyone's given. The most accurate intro everyone's ever given as well. You're right on all fronts there.
You are a friend of mine and former assistant manager as well to me.
Our coaching career is legendary in the Manchester Business League.
And that will be an episode on its own. Adam Brown, how are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm so ready for the Euros now.
Yeah.
But I've got my little retro England shirt on today,
nice.
As well. So,
lovely, yeah. 2008, where were you in the world?
You loved it. You loved saying how old I am.
Oh,
actually,
it's
true.
Oh, yeah, mate.
Previous, just well, me today,
actually,
you're fine.
Yeah, I was very, very youthful back in 2008. No, where was I? What was I doing? Must have been probably at uni, actually. Yeah, must have been in like second year at uni or something like that. But what a shame, really, to Euro 2008, for reasons we'll get into later in the episode. It wasn't really a Euros that you could properly get your teeth into, I don't think. But
no, definitely not.
Yeah, how old were you, Will? It's just time for you to say
now. I was thinking, actually, I was 16, but it was like the worst time because I couldn't go out and drink. And then I was like, thought I was too old to just chill down the park. So I just got depressed.
Chill down the park.
What made it even worse. Jay, what were you doing?
I was at uni, but I was a mature student,
right,
so
okay.
I was 28.
Yeah,
I didn't graduate until I was 30.
That's all right.
But yeah, I've been told I can't talk too much about United, but I was basking in the glory of our Champions League win in 2008. So that softened the blow of having no England in the Euros.
That's the last we'll hear of that as well.
Yeah,
to start the show, we revisit your old friend of mine, Wikipedia. And we've got some introductions to the tournament. What have you got, Adam?
So, Euro 2008, it was the 13th UEFA European Championship. It took place in Austria and Switzerland. Both hosted the tournament for the first time. And it was from the 7th to the 29th of June, obviously back in 2008. So, yeah, there's a little bit of little facts for you there, Will.
Jay, you've got the teams?
Yes, the teams, and it's quite a mix. You had Greece, Holland, Croatia, Italy, Czech Republic, Sweden, Romania, Germany, Portugal, Spain, Poland, France, Turkey, and Russia.
I was just looking at that as well. They don't do it anymore, do they? But because Greece automatically qualified, but I don't think you get that anymore, do you?
Do you not? Well, if you win it, you're not through.
I don't know. Is it just because Greece stand out?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, well,
I don't feel like they do it.
They were the reigning champions, weren't they? But obviously, 4 years passed, and that Greece team from 2004, they had quite a lot of older players, didn't they, in that squad?
And obviously, and you won't get host nation qualification now because of the way the tournament spread across the whole of Europe.
Well, yeah.
But no free passes, mate. No free passes.
You got to earn your spot. That's what you got to do. And before we get into the tournament, as three proud Englishmen, I don't know why I said it like that. It sounds a bit Brexit, doesn't it? obviously, we didn't get to the tournament. There was a rainy night down at Wembley where we just needed to beat Croatia. Yeah. We'll get a draw against Croatia. We didn't do it. Wally from the Broly was born. Wally from the Broly, so his album actually, but Wally with the Broly. But Ad, you've got the team that started that day.
Well, these, you know, people look back at this and they often look at that team on that night. Obviously, the umbrella was there. He had a coffee as well, which I thought was unbelievably laid back. Yeah. Do you remember?
Chilling. He was, do you know what I mean? Yeah, I've just got this game and I've got to go and do something else.
I just remember that image of it as we were crashing out of the Euros. He had a coffee. I was like, that's so.
That is, yeah.
That's the audacity of that. Like, yeah, you're getting beat here, Steve. Yeah, I've got a latte. You can just bring it in for me. Yeah, nice one. So, yeah, the team that night, I mean, listen, Scott Carson was in goal.
That was a big call. I remember that one, wasn't it? Was it David James did he drop?
I think Paul Robinson might have been around at the time as
well. But Carson hadn't played much. No. And it was like, that was a surprise.
Was it that campaign where Robinson did the kick in Croatia where, you know, he missed it?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was
knowledge.
So that's what it was. Yes. And I think there was question marks over, which I don't think they should have been, really. I don't think he'd done much wrong for England before that, really. I think he'd played in 2006. I think he was our first choice keeper in 2006.
I think you're right, yeah.
And then obviously he made that mistake and they were like, right, well, he can't play in such a crucial game, so let's call in Scott Carson, who's never really played before.
And he had a bit of a stinker, didn't he, for the first goal.
And, you know, you can't throw someone in with that, you know, not much experience. No. Richards played right back. We had Sol Campbell and Julian Lescott and Wayne Bridge to complete the back four.
You're smirking here now.
I mean, there must have been a hell of a lot of injuries. That's all I can think of.
When
centre back, you'd think, well, Ashley Cole was on the bench.
Where was Rio?
I don't know.
This is the thing, right?
Where is Rio? This is
the issue I have with this 2008. I know you said I can't make it about United, but it's not just about United.
You do what you want, mate.
Right? Because the Champions League final that year in Moscow, you had Chelsea versus United and you had an English right back, Wes Brown. You had an English left-back, Ashley Cole. You had two English centre-backs, John Terry, Rio Ferdinand. You had a midfield of Michael Carrick, Frank Lampard, Owen Hargreaves, Paul Scholes, Joe Cole. You had a striker in Wayne Rooney. Now, I think Rooney might have been out. I think he was suspended, if you'll know.
Other than that,
basically, you could have made up a team of players, not just who got to the Champions League final, in some cases won it, but were almost at their peak. And Steve McClaren's decided to do something completely different.
I mean, and it's not just the back four, really. Then he's got Sean Wright-Phillips started and Beckham came on for Sean Wright-Phillips.
bold move.
Gerrard, Gareth Barry, who was subbed off for Jermaine Defoe on the 46th minute. Lampard, Joe Cole, who came off, and Darren Bent came on in the 80th minute. And then Peter Crouch up front, unused subs, David James, Ashley Cole, Wes Brown and Owen Hargreaves. Ashley Cole, Wes Brown and Owen Hargreaves all on the bench. And David James, clearly would have been better than Carson, surely.
It didn't make any sense. And I remember my overriding memory of that game was at one point, it looked like we had six strikers just running around aimlessly, desperately trying to get a goal with no sort of plan or cohesion. And it was like you were saying there, with him just in his Broly, just looking like an idiot.
I mean, do you think...
It was painful.
Like you said, Will, at the start, this tournament for you, worst Euros in living memory, is that purely because England weren't there? I felt less invested, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Because I think, we've been lucky, haven't we? It's just anonymous when it gets to summer and you get a English team in a major tournament. And I think I went into it with the, you know, bright ambitions to be like, oh, I'm going to support Austria, you know, and then after 30 minutes, it's down the pan, isn't it? And you're just ready for the Premier League.
It's not quite the same pitching to your mates have a barbecue round at yours while you watch Switzerland versus Czech Republic, is it? You know what I mean?
Well, maybe, but you know what I mean?
There's not as much enthusiasm, is there, for your mates when you want to have a little party.
When you're trying to get the family tree out and see if you've got any like Austrian heritage actually, I'm sort of part Austrian, so this is why I've got all these Austrian flags and I'm really, you know, I cared about this one.
Should we start with Group A? That contained Portugal, Turkey, Czech Republic and Switzerland. Any real highlights for anyone? Anyone, you know? we got a young Cristiano Ronaldo there, a prime Deco, a slaphead Jan Koller still knocking it in.
Well, one of the games in Group A, which I'd watched back a couple of highlights, Portugal and Czech Republic, just an exciting game. But Czech Republic always bring like element of excitement to the Euros.
It's weird, isn't it? Like sort of under the radar almost. You forget that Czech Republic do seem to do quite well, don't they?
But you don't know
they have a few results in them, don't they?
And you don't know what to expect with them. Like they could be terrible, or they just come and play some unbelievable football. So them against Portugal, like you said, Will, with Ronaldo there as well, he scored in that game. Deco was another player who was kind of, you know, he'd probably gone slightly past his peak, or he was around his peak at that time, wasn't he? Is that probably his Chelsea era, wasn't it? Around
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, they had that team where they had a really good sort of nucleus of players, Portugal, and they're playing some exciting football.
Yeah, you know, obviously Ronaldo had that fantastic season, didn't he? End up winning the Ballon d'Or, and he scored 40-odd goals, and he thought, like, maybe he can carry them all away, especially after 2004, because, you know, to lose to Greece in Portugal was pretty drastic, wasn't it? So everyone, I think everyone fancied him for this one.
Well, I think a lot of the so-called smaller teams probably, you know, looked at what Greece did 4 years earlier and thought, well, you know what, why not? Why can't we do it?
Why can't we do it?
Just defend our way for 90 minutes and get the free kicks, and then that's how you do it.
Exactly. Why not?
I think one thing as a neutral going into every major tournament, you always want the host nations to sort of do well. Well, you know, depending on the country again. So let's go a bit more Brexit. in this tournament, we wanted Switzerland to do well. They went out. Group B, Croatia, Germany, Austria, Poland. Austria went out. The old arch enemy Germany is right. More of an English thing, isn't it? Because don't want to do a big name drop here, but I was actually speaking to Didi Hamann the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
What, in person?
On Zoom.
All right, okay. Not too bad.
And I asked him, because, you know, I think as English people, everyone always thinks, you know, Germany, England's the biggest. But for them, he ranked it like, I think it was number 3 or 4. He put Argentina first. No, Holland first, then Argentina, and then sort of England was in and around.
Really?
Deflating, isn't it? They don't even look at us as right. Yeah. we make such a song and dance about Germany, and they're like, yeah, I mean, you're probably the third most important team that we face. And you're like, really?
They're not even into it.
Yeah, they don't care enough.
Can't even
they?
Get that. but Germany did go through, and we probably hated that.
They got beat by Croatia. Croatia had an absolute stormer of a group stage. They won all three games.
Yes.
But I remember, was it Olic, was it, who played for, was it Bayern Munich, I think, for a bit?
Yeah.
He was unbelievable in that tournament. He was quality. So Croatia, you know, I suppose it's not just down to Steve McLaren's dodgy lineup. We could argue that they were amazing.
Yeah, no one was going to beat him. No one, they were unbeatable.
That's why we didn't get qualified.
Yeah,
it was just unbelievable.
Not his fault.
Of Germany, our old enemy. Group C was France, Romania, Italy, Netherlands. Now, the big shock in this one, gents, France finished bottom with 1 point and a -5 goal difference. That stinks.
Is this still the Raymond Domenech era at this point?
I believe so, because then 2010 was when it all booted off with an Elka.
He, like, was... Without being too sort of harsh on him, was off his head, wasn't he? Like, this was a guy that...
That's too harsh.
He said he picked players based on their star signs for stars. I won't have a Scorpio in defence. No, a Leo in defence. I'm not having two Scorpios up front. You think I'm mad? And it's like, well, yeah. So it's like, fair enough if you believe that and you're going to do it, but don't say it.
Yeah.
Just pretend you've dropped them for the footballing ability, not because of what month they were born in. It's just, it doesn't bode well for you. So this was like the sort of, it all was in decline when after 2006 final in the World Cup, where the players apparently had sort of taken over from him and said, we'll handle this, the likes of Zidane and Thuram and the rest of it. And then they had an absolute stinker in here, and it just, like you said, it just went well west in it in the 2010 World Cup.
It's weird though, isn't it? Because sometimes you get like, you know, teams where they need a really bad tournament to kind of make them wake up a little bit and have like reset moment. Obviously, Germany did it, didn't they, as well? You know, I think it was it 2000, I think? Was it when they went bottom of the group, didn't they?
Yeah, you're right. And we beat them, that's how bad they were.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So they had their reset moment. They started really kind of investing in the youth, and, you know, they kind of brought a lot of the under-21 players through and stuff. And I think for France, that was their kind of reset moment where, you know, tournaments after that we started seeing a lot of the old guard being kind of phased out and stuff, and sometimes it needs a bad tournament, don't it, for them to
and they do it well when they do a bad tournament. They don't just like lose some matches, they like send players home early, the coach quits halfway through the tournament and is brought back in. It's like a proper meltdown, which, you know, if you're gonna do it right.
Netherlands as well, Will, in this they did the classic Netherlands where they get you excited for a bit and think, oh my god, it's happening, this is their year, it's their tournament.
Well, even the goal scorers, Van Nistelrooy, Van Persie, Arjen Robben, Wesley Sneijder, Dirk Kuyt, little cheeky Jan Van Huntelaar in there as well. They finished top with 9 points. Italy finished second only with 4 points, and like we said, France finished bottom based on the star signs.
Those are wins as well, aren't they? Like 3-0 against Italy, 4-1 against France. you know what I mean? You're proper setting your stall out there, aren't you? It's not like you're just sort of scraping through, you know?
Every time, though, I watch it, and every tournament, my dad will go, tell you what, fancy Netherlands in this tournament. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, first game, they'll do something amazing.
I mean, yeah, they did it in the, was it 2010? Not 2010. The Van Persie. I played that game as well, funnily enough. I was there over in Brazil.
On holiday.
We just went to the World Cup, right, with my mates.
Daily Blind's.
I got a ticket literally 2 minutes before that game and seen that Van Persie goal. It was mint. And then everyone's like, oh, this is it now. Like you say,
every time, mate.
Put your money on him.
He loves it. He goes, I'll tell you, I fancy for the Euros after watching one game. Never guess. I will. You say it every single time. Netherlands, I tell you, got some great players.
Just back to the French thing with Raymond Domenech. If you had to pick a team based on something like that, what would be your sort of your filter to pick them? So that's star signs.
Right, not star signs.
I'd do mine based on, I'd make them all fill in a 3-course meal, like come dine with me, and then I'd pick no name, pick the squad like that.
What, and judge them off the food choices?
Yeah.
What would you judge harshly?
Like their choice, or they'd cook for you?
So I'd give a pool of 35 people, start a main, and a pudding, but just write it down. Don't cook for me, and then I'd pick the squad based on
I hope you'd announce it like that. Come down with me, guy. Well done, you've won.
Yeah.
I hope it makes you very happy. Yeah.
What would you judge harshly? Someone's gone for a fish course main, you're like, right, you forget it, you're not coming on the plane.
Well, I had food poisoning last week when it was coming out of both ends, and right. I don't really know if it was based on I had my first muscle.
So if anyone puts that as a start, they're done.
That's it. They're out.
going forward, if I am ever in charge of the England national side, just avoid the muscle.
Okay.
Group Good D contained Spain, Russia, Sweden and Greece. So the 2004 winners, well, it was just a dream. They went out, bottom, no points. And then let's get into this Spain side. Because spoiler alert, they do go pretty far in this tournament.
All right, don't they? Yeah. This is it, isn't it? This is the beginning of the dominance. Really, of Spain.
6 years of dominance?
Yeah, wasn't it? And they were just unplayable, really, weren't they? You can see the results battering Russia. Beating Sweden as well, Ibrahimovic, Sweden.
92nd winner, David Villa.
That's what I mean.
Forget how world-class and elite David Villa was.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, no, he was, wasn't he? And it's weird because I think with Spain, everyone just focuses on the midfielders all the time, don't they? You go, you look at that midfield, you've got Xavi, you've got Fabregas, it's just Iniesta. It's that midfield, sometimes they don't even play a striker, they don't need one. And then you've got players like David Villa, and I think Torres as well, he had a good record for Spain. Mm. He was banging in goals and winning tournaments. You're like, hang on a minute.
David Villa's always been, he was a victim of other players around him taking all the limelight. Because obviously when he was at Barcelona as well, he was surrounded by unbelievable players. Then at Spain, like Jay said, it was all Xavi and Iniesta. That's what people focused on all the time. So he's kind of maybe done a bit of a disservice, really. He was absolutely on fire, wasn't he, really? He just put any chance away. I just want to give a quick shout out to Greece, who managed to score one goal. Karisteas scored it, the man who fired him to success 4 years earlier. How'd you go from that to that?
I think they're still celebrating 4 years later. Yeah, still in party mode.
Yeah.
Still loving it. Hey, look at it again, me.
So that meant, Greece went home, Sweden went home, and Spain and Russia advanced. And then we got down to the final eight and the first quarterfinal, which I did watch during the research that I did do, was Portugal-Germany. Portugal 2, Germany 3. An absolute ding-dong, not a derby. Anyone got another good D word?
Duel?
Ding-dong duel. Yeah, he's done it there.
The big bucks. Nuno Gomes, Postiga, Schweinsteiger, Closer, Ballack. I mean, that's some nostalgic names reeling off there, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It's just typical, isn't it? Because you just think, oh, there you go, Portugal, this is there, they're going to do it now. And then Germany's just like, no, same old Germany, just do what they need to do and get through.
And just the calmness about that, do you know what I mean? That win, you just think they wouldn't have been panicking.
No.
Get it done. Ballack, just one of them, just pop up with a goal like that. And you think Portugal scorers, Nuno Gomes and Postiga, they've been in every tournament since 94. Yeah. Nuno Gomes seems to be around for years. Yeah.
And held a Postiga because he got that move to Spurs, didn't he? And he was just absolutely pants.
And remember Paulinho as well, I swear.
There's a few like that, though. Portugal have done well for the country.
Yeah.
Like Ida and that, and just not done that much club wise. Do you know what I mean? Centre back, well travelled sort of players.
Bruno Alves, that centre back, who was about 50. He's probably playing the Euros this year. I bet you he's there. He's every single squad.
Need him around the squad. Croatia qualifying, so then proving Steve McLaren, you know, had a tough gig. And then a king was born in Russia because Arshavin, this is when I feel like we got introduced to Andrei Arshavin, who had, you know, the kids say the streets will never forget. He had sort of one of those seasons for Arsenal, didn't he? When he came to the Prem after this.
What team had he played for in Russia? He'd been playing there and he had an amazing season. I think he did quite well in the Champions League, didn't he? I think. And he was like, there was a lot of hype around him going into this tournament. And he was quality, wasn't he? I think he's one of them that when he came to the Premier League, he never quite lived up to that.
It's just that game at Anfield for me. That 4-goal game. I can't remember him doing anything else in an Arsenal shirt.
He was at the Emirates and he's like weaves and his way through and then he's right on the touchline and he managed to find him on top corner. So he did do that as well, Jason.
Sorry.
And they got Pavlyuchenko as well. Obviously, he was he ended up playing and he scored actually against Netherlands.
Pavlyuchenko actually broke my heart. Actually, he was the scorer of the final goal for Spurs that sent Birmingham down to the championship in the Premier League. I was watching Gillette Soccer Saturday and Jeff went, "There's been a goal at White Hart Lane, but which way is it gone?" And it was Pavlyuchenko.
You're joking.
We got relegated and we still haven't gone up since. Right, we're just going to pause here, have a little ad break, then we'll be back.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
This season, Live Score is the only place where you can watch every single UEFA Champions League game for free. That means more goals, more unforgettable drama, more end-to-end action. And whether you're watching on your phone or tablet or casting to your TV, the free Live Score app gives you even more ways to watch. Live Score, the new home of the UEFA Champions League. It's more than a score. Download now on the App Store or Google Play.
When you bet fair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1 to 2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
In the final quarterfinal, Spain played Italy. It was 0-0, but the Spanish won on penalties. And then we got down to the semi-finals. Germany 3, Turkey 2. So what I said about Croatia going through was wrong. And that's exactly why Steve didn't keep his job, Jay. So just make sure you do your research, pal, before you go into it. All right. It was a shit tournament. And Spain beat Russia 3-0.
Didn't want to win it anyway.
Exactly. Didn't want to win it. Germany lost in the final, so I was there celebrating the old enemy. The final was a bit of a... Fernando Torres as well, and Ad will know this. I actually had to sit... We've done an episode on Torres.
Yeah.
And one of the worst documentaries you've ever seen of all time.
The Torres one? Really? Why?
It's just an hour and a half. I think it's an hour and 45, hour and 50.
Yeah.
And there's some people that haven't got that much duration and they're a bit better than Torres. It talks about this sort of period as well because was he just coming off the back of... Was he in his prime at Liverpool here?
The season that stands out for me for Liverpool was the 08-09 season where they came second.
Got you.
And he just wouldn't stop scoring.
Right.
He was like, because I know you don't like to make it about United.
No, it's fine.
Humour me. It looked at one point like they were going to win the title. You know, it was us and them neck and neck, United and Liverpool, and he just was scoring every week. And you're like, oh, this is going to be one of them.
He must have been coming off, that was off the back of this tournament.
Yeah,
then, presumably, wasn't it?
So he'd been at Atletico, been banging him in. Hadn't been quite prolific. Scored a lot of goals, but not like, you know, ridiculous amounts. Then went to Liverpool and just scoring constantly. And you thought, oh, hang on. So, yeah, this was, yeah, I think you could argue that around 08-09 is his prime, yeah.
In the, obviously, the latter stage of this, Will, like, listen, I'm not going to blame you for not realising Croatia didn't get through because...
Well, I literally got it on a sheet in front of you. But actually, yeah,
to be fair, there is no
excuse.
That
is a bit of a stretch.
No, but it's weird because certain, especially knockout stages, I have hardly any recollection of some of them. Yeah. Like, I remember obviously the final, but then you think back to yourself, Germany didn't... They got to so many finals, yeah. like 2002 World Cup. Like,
there's just a thing about Michael Ballack, isn't there? He was always I'm not going to say a bad omen because they wouldn't have got there, but I think he lost the final and the semi-finals and the final with Germany. Then there's numerous Champions League ones as well.
Well, he lost two finals, and didn't he? That's summer.
Yeah. God, yeah. Don't want to make it about United.
I'm just saying.
Don't want to make it about United.
That's not a good 6 weeks, that, is it?
No. Oh, imagine that, yeah.
You just think to yourself, Germany, like, and they weren't particularly outstanding in that tournament, but you think they've got to the final again.
This is it. It is annoying because, like you say, in 2002, they had quite an easy route, but they got there.
Yeah, and because in 2000, there. Obviously in Euros, they got knocked out, and then it was only 2 years later, they're meant to be in that rebuild. They got to the final at the start of the rebuild. It was just ridiculous. Right. So it was a classic kind of Germany of this era as well to get to that final, but Spain ultimately had just a bit too much quality for them, didn't they?
But I feel like Germany are like almost like the perfect tournament team, and even going through that lineup, then you got like Miroslav Klose, who's, to all intents and purposes at club level, just like a good striker. But when it comes to a major tournament, it's just something changes and he switches on. And then obviously that back four on Philipp Lahm was at his peak at that time, and Schweinsteiger. But they lost to the start of this Spanish dominance. 6 years of winning a Euros, a World Cup and another Euros is remarkable, isn't it?
It is. And I quite liked it early on with Spain as well. Yeah. When they were still like, everyone wasn't like, just, oh, Spain will just win this. They'll just tick-attack it away for everything. This was like when tick-attack was relatively new. People were excited. It was Aragonés, the manager, wasn't Del Bosque, was it? And it was like, oh, you know, Spain, I tell you what, Spain might do all right. And then after this, it was like, Spain will win this game. Yeah. Spain will win this one.
Favourite player of the tournament, gents?
Oh, now you're asking.
I'll put my cards on the table.
One.
Andre Arshavin.
Oh!
Just because going back, that was sort of. I think this was probably the final tournament that you could watch a tournament and still like really discover someone new, because you knew about Arshavin, but when you know, get to watch him play, I mean, now you can literally type anything into YouTube and get it up. But
I mean, to have Russia and Turkey both in the semi-finals was probably unexpected. And it's nice to always discover a player in a tournament like that. It's great.
Nice to have those teams as well, isn't it, where you're like, you know, like the Ajax team of the Champions League, you never forget the starting lineup. Please don't ask me to recite.
he was right back. No, I think for me, it's probably have to be either a Spain player, maybe a David Villa, maybe something like that.
That was my go-to guy.
I remember Schweinsteiger had a really good tournament as well for Germany. He was quality. He was controlling the game for him, really, for Germany. I remember him having a really, really good tournament. So, yeah, I'll go Schweinsteiger then, Jay, if you want to have...
Oh, can I have Villa then?
Yeah, you can have Villa.
So it's not just all about the Spanish midfielders. Eh?
And then I just want an iconic moment from the tournament. Is there anything, you know, that we've already spoke about? Or that's, I mean, we are struggling. Should we just put the nail in the coffin and say Euro 2008, thanks for happening, but, you know, we don't really want to talk to you about for another 4 years?
Yeah.
Maybe. Is that right?
I mean, iconic moment. All right, look, why don't we do this as like a shared one. I think it was, you know, seeing the sort of the genesis of that Spanish team.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Nice get out of jail free.
I don't know.
Nicely done there.
I don't know, as a 16-year-old, I'd have had that sort of, you know, foresight.
I'm witnessing something special here.
I know, you were chilling at the park going, I tell you what, that Spanish team's going to dominate for years. That's what you were doing.
This is the ethos of something good to happen, this is. Gents, thank you very much for chatting about Euro 2008. Jay, did you enjoy it?
I'm like you guys. I mean, obviously, I was a little older than you, and I wasn't sitting in parks, otherwise, I'd have been in trouble. But it's one of those where I've sort of got a passing memory of it because there wasn't that thing. And yeah, it's just sort of like you were saying, that the overriding memory is, you know, Spain just became this team that just started to dominate and dominate matches in just a way we'd not really seen before from teams. Because you've seen a lot of international football, it'd been tight, it'd been end to end. Spain just started just brushing teams aside, didn't they?
It's bad, that, isn't it? You should be allowed as a 30-year-old man to sit in a park and it not be creepy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I can't know I've got kids, but it would have been a bit different now. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Right?
Hang on, mate. Chill down the park. Ad, you enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, loved it, mate. Loved it. I mean, as Jay said, 2008, it's not the one that you would want to follow, you know, really, really intensely, I don't think, just because England aren't there. But I think it's a quiet appreciation of that Spanish team, I think, before they went on to dominate everything and started getting a bit too predictable. But, you know, to see the start of that Spanish team, and they almost had that settled start in 11,
yeah,
which is hard to get at a national level, isn't it, really? It became almost, you could name the team, you know, every single tournament.
The good thing is as well about this one is they were slightly unknown because this wasn't the era yet of the Barcelona dominance. So the next time you've got Barcelona in back-to-back trebles or stuff or whatever, or two trebles in 3 years, you've got like Xavi and Iniesta just being unplayable. You've got like the likes of Fabregas and other players where you go, oh, you know what? We know what we're in for here. This was like, wow, these guys are blowing everyone away where you weren't expecting it.
Mm.
A few lessons we've learned today. Andrea Sharvin probably should have done more. Bruno Alves is here to stay, and you know, you should be allowed to go to a park if you want to, single or not, with kids or without. There we have it. We've got to chat about Euro 2008. Winners were Spain. Let's go on to the next tournament. I'll give you a clue. It's 2012. Thanks, Jay Motti.
Good to be here. Good to be here with you.
Thank you, Adam Brown.
Cheers, mate.
We'll see you next week for Euro 2012.
It sound right, boy.
When you Betfair on football, you get daily rewards. So any day can be a big deal. So whether it's a lower league match day, a top flight derby day, or a Champions League superstar showdown day, this week we're doubling our daily rewards. Get a €10 free bet when you bet €20 worth of multiples or bet builders. Double daily rewards because we're Betfair.
Max €10 free bet per day. Each bet must have at least one selection of minimum odds of 1.5 or 1-2 or more. Free bet valid 24 hours on multiples or bet builders. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Visit gamblingcare.ie.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.